养蚕就个我这你盘马用你几十周过的
Homage to Samantabhadra, homage to Vajrasattva, homage to Padmasambhava, homage to every single great perfection lineage master, homage to His Holiness Jamyang Luntu Gelson, homage to His Holiness Jigme Ponsok, homage to His Holiness Kempo Chuji, homage to all enlightened masters. Homage has many levels of meaning. It is not just something that we learn, or some kind of intelligence or concept. Homage is a state of realization. When we think of the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas, the Yidams, deities, Dharma protectors of the ten directions, and their state of realization, and the enlightened realizations that they have, and all of the negativities that we have engaged in since beginningless time till now. Really, we could have such great remorse. Just like them, we attain this precious human life. However, the end result of having this precious human life between themselves and ourselves was incredibly different. The difference between how high their realizations and how low ours are, and the differences in our states of awareness. When we pay homage, let it really give rise to the state of great rejoicing and celebration, appreciation and respect and praise for this incredible state of realization, this pure mandala that has been realized by all of the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas, Yidams, deities, and Dharma protectors, and that we may have such remorse and repentance that it really brings us to the level of attaining this state of selflessness, transforming all of this self-grasping, this ignorance, this conceit and arrogance, that we may see the reality that everything that we have been doing in terms of samsaric activities really are meaningless. Everything that we have done since beginningless time until now, while in front of all of the Buddhas, Bodhisattvas, our root guru, we can feel with such remorse, such regret, as we have really been so ignorant, so lost. From the practice of paying homage, we can attain the state of selflessness. Usually we have the state of self-grasping and a love of self. However, when we are before the pure mandala of the three jewels, when we are before the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas, and when we are before these benevolent gurus who benefit sentient beings so vastly, so greatly, when we see their incredible compassion and their respect and belief in the three jewels, we can just be filled with great rejoicing and praise and really be encouraged to practice well. Paying homage isn't only a method to accumulate merit, it is also seeing the purity and praising the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas and our benevolent gurus, and also that we may attain the state of selflessness. How come is it that when we practice paying homage that we can realize selflessness? Because paying homage really reduces the self-grasping. This mind of self-grasping can collapse, and that all that we have in mind is great rejoicing and praise for the pure, marvelous mandala of all the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas, which is also an achievement of a really great state of mind. As I've mentioned, our state of mind we can at any time improve, increase. And these are some of the uncommon pith instructions of the great perfection. And this is a very special practice. Pay homage. Normally when we are involved in the theory, for instance, maybe we are reciting a text. However, when we are doing this, we don't have a state of realization, a higher state of mind. Pay homage. Through the merit of paying homage, we can attain the state of selflessness. We pay homage. We take refuge in the three jewels. And now I've explained these clearly to you. What is paying homage? What is taking refuge? And what is making aspirations? From the state of realization, how do we practice? We must practice in the state of realization. How do we understand this? How do we understand the state of mind of homage and of refuge? How do we understand the state of mind of making aspirations? How do we practice it? How do we experience it so that it is at a higher level of realization? Before we had met with the benevolent guru and the three jewels, we were taking refuge in all of the material concerns and being blown around and influenced by all of our prior causes and effects, our prior karma. We didn't even require a refuge text. We had already taken refuge in attachment, aversion, and ignorance. As a result, everything that we thought was important, that we placed our reliance on, was based on the foundation of attachment, aversion, and ignorance. We had already thoroughly taken refuge in attachment, aversion, and ignorance. After meeting the benevolent guru, we started studying, reflecting, and practicing. And we started taking refuge in the three jewels. And the three jewels are the Dhammakaya of the true nature of mind. And the three jewels are the embodiment of wisdom and are the essence of compassion. The true nature of mind, compassion, wisdom are the objects of our refuge. And what we could say is also taking refuge in the realization of the true nature of mind. And of course, what we are busy practicing now is the true Dharma. And we're receiving the instructions of pure Dharma through this very pure lineage. And what we are realizing is coming about because of these very pure pith instructions. And through applying these in our life, eventually we can attain wisdom, emptiness, the state of Rigpa. And when we achieve enlightenment, that is when we actually truly are taking refuge in the three jewels. Because from that time onwards, we will never again leave the true nature of mind. We don't have to think about it. We don't have to be concerned about it. Then one is already in the state of the Dhammakaya, together with the three jewels. And this is the ultimate refuge. And then we have really achieved the ultimate meaning of taking refuge. Once we have taken refuge, then what we're relying on is compassion and wisdom and realization. We are no longer relying on attachment, aversion, and ignorance, and so the objects of our refuge have now been changed. Taking refuge is so important. taking refuge in the three jewels. And taking these refuge vows is so beneficial. It was mentioned by both Shantideva and by Atisha that if we maintain these pure refuge vows, there's no ways that we will fall down to the lower realms in our next life. And this is just the merit of taking pure refuge vows. And then over and above this, we add paying homage and bodhicitta, then there's only one way for us to go, and that is to attain Buddhahood. Where there's a cause, there's effect. This is called the infallibility of cause and effect. There really are very different levels of meaning and realization in taking refuge. Everything that our five senses, our hearing, smell, taste, sight, and touch have been in contact with, and everything that has been happening within the six levels of consciousness, which is all our thoughts, are all included in the relative truth. And then one day, when we have the very positive arising causes of meeting with the great perfection and the Vajraguru, it could be from the Vajraguru that we receive one path instruction, or a few path instructions, or an act of compassion, or a look from the Vajraguru, that in that moment we might recognize the true nature of mind. And everything included in the relative truth is absorbed into the state of the ultimate truth. And this is the most ultimate refuge. This might sound very profound and very far away. However, through these incredible great perfection pith instructions, this could be happening within a moment. And in reality, it is not difficult. In reality, it is not difficult to recognize the true nature of mind. What is most difficult is believing it. This mind, right in the moment, is the true nature of mind, is Buddha nature. This is what is most difficult for us to comprehend. It is the most simple, and yet it is also the most difficult. With those students who have the merit, it can be just one pointing instruction, and immediately the students understand. The ultimate refuge is that all of these relative appearances and thoughts and logic and conceptualizations are all absorbed into the ultimate state of mind, into this ultimate state of the luminosity of the Dhammakaya. And this is the ultimate refuge. And then, when all of life's conceptuality is absorbed into equanimity and into our awareness in meditative concentration, this is the second most ultimate refuge. And the third is when we, with our body, speech, and mind, take refuge in the external three jewels. And this is the secret refuge, the inner refuge, and the outer refuge. And from this we see the different aspects of taking refuge.